Session number 19052.
Patrick Brown, Reel 4. Did any incidents occur to you while you were at the General
Yeah,
Hospital?
I can think of one when I was in the theatre. The colonel was operating at the time, and sister said to me, "Don't stand behind the colonel." And I said, "Why?" She said, "You'll soon know." And I did. Colonel made his first decision, swung his scalpel over his shoulders and screamed, "Dirty!" And that's when you knew that he'd made his first incision. And if he touched anything and he wasn't quite sure, he'd shriek out, "I'm dirty!" And you had to completely stop what was happening, dress him again in sterile gown, gloves, hat, mask, and then he'd carry on. He was very sort of temperamental. So that was one of the funny scenes. Another thing is that when you're operating, it's not doom and gloom. You're laughing and joking and cracking jokes, and the surgeon's normally pulling the sister's leg regarding this, that, and the other. So it's quite a happy atmosphere, though you are dealing, I mean, it's happy, but it's serious, if you understand what I mean. It's quite difficult to explain, but it's that atmosphere about it.
How did you take to working in a
Theatre.
theatre?
I talk to you like a duck on that takes to water. I really enjoyed it. If I don't know, if I had my time over again, I would have become a surgeon, I think, because I really did enjoy it. It was quite fantastic. And all the various things you saw and did. And some of the surgeons were very, very good, very helpful, explained everything to you. So you had no, you knew what exactly what was to be done and what your job was and so on.
Did you ever encounter any problems with any of the surgeons at all?
Oh, one. He helped. Yeah, I have a problem with one surgeon who'd come back from the desert, and I think he was being affected by his tour of duty in the desert because he wasn't a nice person to work with. That's all I can say, really. I won't comment any more further.
But you felt that that was because of his
I
experience in
feel that
action.
his experience being in the desert had affected him personally. He wasn't quite a nice. He wasn't the usual run of surgeons, shall I say. I mean, I've worked under a brigadier general who came to our hospital to do a special operation. He was really, really gentle and kind. Called us my dear. Everybody was my dear. The higher you went up, the more pleasant they were to you, actually. They treated you as equal, which was really nice.
And what rank were you at this time?
I was still an ORA. I never went above, unfortunately, because having worked in the hospital and then went to a surgical unit, there was no promotion. You just stayed in that rank, unfortunately.
And what was the aftercare like after an operation in the hospital?
Very good. I mean, I used to wheel the patient because you had to make sure that his airway was clear. Wheel him into the ward, then the sister would take over. You'd have to help her put him into bed and make sure the airway was still in his mouth. And she said, "Oh, well, I'll let you have that later." And then they almost got personal care. Because there were two or three sisters on the ward when we were doing operations. We had a list of 10 or 20 operations in one day. So, and we the operating staff used to have a split rota. We used to do what we called a long trot. That was from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. And you did a short one, which was from 8 till 1, and then you did another short one in the afternoon, 2 to 6. But then you had every other day you had night, you were on night call, and then after you'd done night call, you were given 48 hours leave. And, I mean, no drills, no nothing. You were allowed to go out for 48 hours, and then you were back on duty again.
And what area did the General Hospital cover?
It covered all the surrounding troops in the Yorkshire area. We had RAF as well. We didn't treat, the RAFs or the WAFs or the Wrens. They had their own hospital. But we did all the mail. They had a... Well, also, of course, in Yorkshire, they had York Military. They had a big catchment as well. But there was quite a... Around York was a tremendous amount of troops stationed, and it was quite busy. Well, a very, very busy hospital.
And was the wards divided up by rank?
No. They did have an officer's ward, which was officers only, but otherwise, if you were a senior NSO to a private, you were in the same ward.
But the officers had a separate ward?
Yeah, the officers had the officer's ward, yeah. Yeah.
Were they treated any differently?
No. They had the same treatment, just that they were sort of class apart. There was no more staff was allocated to them than the other side. In fact, I think you got better treatment really being in a ward with all the others than sort of at the other end.
So you were there until January of 1944?
Yeah, that's right. And then the hospital was brought down to Woolwich. We went to the Royal Herbert and Cambridge Hospital.
Did the whole hospital move?
Yeah. We came down by train. We had everything packed up and we went to York Station. We all got on board train and we came all the way down to King's Cross. Then we all got off. And all the stuff was put on lorries and taken to the Royal Herbert. And then we were in a barracks there. I think they were Cambridge barracks. I think they were. Very Victorian, very Victorian. No hot water, cold water. Slate, where you washed. Slate, like bowl things. There was electricity. But very, very basic, very, very basic. And then the Royal Herbert had been closed, so that was opened, and we had to scrub that. All the wards and the theatres, the whole of the unit scrubbed that hospital out. I don't know what happened afterwards, but...
What was the reason for the move?
Well, because of D-Day, wasn't it, coming up? That was the reason, because the General Hospital was booked to go over to Normandy. So that's the reason why they came down, and they were sort of standby, really, in London. That's... I cycled all the way from Peckham to Woolwich, and I went across Blackheath when the batteries, you know, they were electronically operated, the batteries on Blackheath. And I cycled across there when they went off.
Was that for the V1 threat?
No, this was when the bombing was on, 1944. There was bombing going on even then in London. And they had these batteries on Blackheath here. And they were all electrically operated. And there was me cycling across with these things going off. Well, I had to get back to the hospital, otherwise I'd been put on a charge. So
where were you billeted when you...
We were we were billeted in this barracks. I told you, the 18th century barracks. But we were allowed time off. And that's why I went home to see my mother and got me bike and cycled back because, transport was getting a bit scarce in London. You know, they were picking up about 5 o'clock in the evening. So that was quite an experience.
And your duties were the same as they'd been at York?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is there any differences? Or?
Well, we didn't have hardly any casualties. That was the surgeon I didn't get on with, he said, I think you best that you left us. And I said, yeah, okay, I don't mind. And I went to a holding unit, I hardly got there, and I was sent down to New Haven. and D-Day arrived and away I went with the 33rd FSU.
Before we get to that, I was just going to ask you about your time in England between 41 and 44. Did you go on any courses other than medical courses?
No, I only went on medical courses, but I went on, what do you call it?
Was it a battle?
Okay. Yes, yeah, I went on a battle school course, and there they used live ammunition, which was quite... That's the first time I'd actually thrown a hand grenade on one of these battle courses. And I went on another one down at... down on the south coast there, where there's a very flat beach, and we went on these landing crafts, and we came down off these landing crafts, across in the water, and up the beach. And there they used fixed machine guns, and you had to make sure you bent low and ran up the beach. Nobody was, as far as I know, nobody in our unit was hurt, but that was one of the experiences.
Was that intention to get you battle training?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of the battle courses were very, very tough and realistic. Very, you know, two that I went on were not too bad, but some of the courses, I understand, were very tough.
So. And you used weapons?
No. All our weapon was a stretcher.
Well, you mentioned hand grenades.
Oh, well, that we were told to try a hand at. Throwing a grenade to give us some, I don't know what. They just told us we got to learn to throw a grenade, and that's what we did.
And how did you do that then?
Well, they gave you no demonstration and told you what to do, and then you went into this pit with a sergeant, and then he just told you to sling it as far as you could, and that's what we did. I mean, you were protected by this pit. And as far as I know, nobody dropped a grenade. We were all very good, apparently, according to the sergeant anyway.